Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation this morning, we turn to the words of our Gospel reading from John chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. The Jewish Passover was near, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and money changers sitting at the tables. He made a whip of cords and drove everyone out of the temple courts, along with the sheep and oxen. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those selling doves, he said, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews responded, "What sign are you going to show us to prove you can do these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." The Jews said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. Then they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, O Jesus, so sweet, O Jesus, so mild. Have you ever sung those words in a hymn before? So often in Scripture we find our Savior as the humble, helping, miracle-working Savior who spoke the gospel and his law to many. But how do we reconcile that wonderful picture of Jesus as being our helper, as being our Savior, with this picture that we see in our gospel reading for today? Here he is clearing out the money, overturning the tables, telling all the people to be gone from this place. Here we have this Jesus who is ready to be at odds with people here in a very physical way. And yet we often see Jesus in Scripture being the very helpful, loving Savior. Dear friends, remember Jesus had a purpose as he went to the temple that day. And for two reasons we're going to look at today is why he was there doing what he was. First of all, he was there to cleanse. And second of all, he was there to offer life. Think about it for a moment. This was the Passover, a very special festival. Thousands upon thousands of people were gathering in Jerusalem from all over the Jewish world. And people who traveled a long distance needed sacrifices. They needed animals for those prescribed sacrifices of the Old Testament. And so there were those sellers of these certain animals, weren't there? This was all well and good, but over time, guess what happened? The focus was put on finances and money and greed. And all of a sudden, the livestock moved from one place up very close to the courts of the temple itself. Do you realize that the temple of God was the place where people were to come to meet their God and their Lord? Instead, people were now coming to the Passover and meeting animals there at the temple. So Jesus had come to cleanse this greed, this iniquity, this sin. You know, I just recently moved from Michigan, and it was interesting, the other day when the movers came, they took my bed, they took my dressers, and my rooms were empty, but something was very visible. All the dirt and dust and cobwebs that were behind my bed, that were behind my dresser. They were now exposed, and now they need to be cleaned. The same thing was true here at the time of the Passover in Jerusalem. Jesus was now exposing the sin of these people, and he was ready to clean house as he did that day. Jesus entered his temple that day. Jesus still enters his temple even today. What a blessing that you, as the members of Bethlehem, gather together as God's people. Here you hear the holy law spoken. But it is not just words that go in one ear and out the other. They speak to our hearts, don't they? They remind us of the cobwebs and the dust within our own sinful natures, that darkness of our own sin that still lurks and dwells within our hearts. That we realize through that holy law that if it were only with our sin that we were to live, then we would surely die, not only temporal but eternal death in hell. And our life would be full of despair, looking only forward to that eternal death. But we gather together as God's people with that sin exposed, and God in His mercy and grace comes to us with His wonderful good news of forgiveness and cleansing of our sins. As the Apostle Paul told us, we preach Christ crucified. It is through Jesus Christ that we are cleansed from our sins, and we rejoice to know that in Him and in Him alone we have forgiveness and eternal life to look forward to. Thank God for the cleansing that Jesus has brought to us through His Word and through His sacrament. You know, why did Jesus cleanse the temple that day? We're told here in Scripture it was because zeal for God's house consumed Jesus. Jesus had a zeal for His Father's house. Jesus had a deep love for His Father. He came to this world in order to fulfill all of the Father's will on our behalf, so that Jesus' righteousness is now credited as our righteousness. Jesus has deep zeal for you and for me. He does not want us to be lost. He wants nothing to come between Him and us in our relationship with Him. He wants that relationship to grow stronger and stronger each day. Dear friends, does that same zeal well up in our hearts for our church, for our temple? Because when we think about the zeal we have for God's house, we're not just talking about a beautiful building as you have here in Bethlehem. We're also talking about zeal for God's temple means zeal for God's Word. To be in that Word. To grow daily in that Word. To be reminded again and again through that Word that we have been cleansed from our sin through holy baptism. Through the washing of the water and the Word, God made you His child. God loves you dearly and wants that relationship strengthened each day. Your zeal for the Lord, your faith-driven zeal, will continue to grow and to grow as you continue in His Word. Jesus once said, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." May God continue to inspire us with His zeal, reminding us that He has also cleansed His temple. Namely, He has cleansed each one of us through His life-giving Word and sacrament. Jesus came to do one other thing that day as well. He came to offer life to those who were caught in spiritual darkness of death. You see, those enemies of Jesus, they did not repent once Jesus overturned the money changers' tables. Instead, they asked Jesus, prove to us by what authority you have to do all these things of turning over the money changers' tables and driving people and animals out of the temple area. Prove to us that you have authority to do this. And Jesus, in His mercy and grace, proved to them His authority. with those most marvelous words that you hear in our text today. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Jesus was speaking of what? His own death and His resurrection. Those men there thought, "Oh my goodness, Jesus, you must be pointing to this temple. It took us 46 years to build this magnificent temple. And you say that it's going to be destroyed and in 3 days you're going to raise it up again?" Think about that for a moment. Even if Jesus were literally talking about that temple that took 46 years to build, those men there didn't realize who was speaking to them. That Jesus was not just a rabbi or a teacher. He was the Almighty God who created all things in 6 24-hour days. So it would not have been outside of Jesus' power that if that temple would have been destroyed, He could have raised it up in 3 days. He is the Creator, the Savior of us all. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about His own temple, His own body. It's a magnificent sign that Jesus gives to those Jewish unbelievers. He was telling them, "Look at how you have desecrated the temple of God. You are destroying the temple of God with your greed by focusing on the finances rather than focusing your faith on God and the Messiah who stands before you. You are destroying that temple, and I have come to clear that temple this day. And just as you were destroying that temple and I have come to clear it out, this is your sign. You will destroy my body. You will attempt to kill me and I will die, but in 3 days I will rise again, conquering death." What a comfort for us to know that our Savior spoke that beautiful promise of the resurrection. You realize that we are in the midst, almost right in the middle of Lent, aren't we? And it's all well and good for us to focus on Jesus' passion, His suffering, His death for us. For without that, there is no salvation for us or any of mankind. But during this season of Lent, we come to this day called Sunday. And each Sunday of the church year, even in Lent, do you know what that is? It's a little bit of celebration of Easter. Here is our reminder of the hope that we have. As we follow Jesus to His suffering, death, and the cross, we remember what comes at the end. We rejoice to know that Jesus will rise. And we too have that wonderful promise that we too will rise from the dead. Not just our souls, but also our very bodies. And they will be like Jesus' glorious, magnificent, resurrected body, as the book of Philippians tells us. We will rise. Isn't that the comfort that you have in your heart each time you know of a loved one who is a believer in Christ, who has died in the Lord, that it is not the final goodbye? You will see that person again in their magnificent body that Jesus gives to them. Jesus comes to wipe away each tear from our eyes, not with just, "I'm sorry for your loss," but rather with the beautiful words, "They will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." That's what Jesus says. That is Jesus' promise to you. And be comforted with that wonderful picture and beautiful promise of the resurrection that Jesus gives us here in the gospel reading. Oh, but dear friends, you don't have to just look to the future for a resurrection. You and I, by God's grace, have already experienced a resurrection. You and I were born in spiritual death unable to come to Christ, unable to choose Christ. There is nothing we could do to save ourselves. But God in His mercy came to us and revealed His holy scriptures to us and opened our eyes. Not just these eyes, but the eyes of faith to see His word, to know His love and His promises. Did you see how that happened in our scriptures today? Those disciples were watching Jesus as He cleansed the temple on that day. And they were at first scratching their heads too. My goodness, Jesus, what are You doing? And then you recognize what it says a little bit later in the scriptures here. They later recalled what was written in the scriptures, "Zeal for God's house will consume me." They were comforted by remembering what the Word had said. And then when Jesus spoke that promise about destroying the temple and on the third day He would raise it up again, they recalled after His resurrection those beautiful words and were reminded and comforted that Jesus kept His word. You see, when Jesus speaks, we listen. Because we know He always speaks the truth. And we have the wonderful, comforting opportunity to go to God's Word again and again. And when a passage is unclear to us, we can study other passages. And hopefully then they are made more clear. And those things we do not understand now, we will understand later. God gives us everything we need to know for our salvation in His Holy Scriptures. And we continue as students of God's Word to dig, to dig, to dig. Because through that Word, God reveals His love to us. He keeps us spiritually alive. And He strengthens us in that spiritual life through His Holy Word. Dear friends, what a picture we had before us today. Jesus, here He was, overturning the money changers' tables. And there He was, driving people out, driving animals out. Why was He there? You know why He was there. He was entering His temple to cleanse it and to offer the wonderful promise of life. Thank God that Jesus still comes to His temple, Bethlehem. Oh, but He comes even more personally to each individual member of Bethlehem through His holy word and also through His body and blood that He gives to you this day. May God keep your faith strong in Him always. Amen.